This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. It's my pleasure to be with you every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are important and interesting and relevant to all of us who live here in the Western New York community. We've been lately, of course, everything that we've been talking about and doing and thinking about in our lives has to do with COVID, sadly, and or the bills, happily. But we've been talking about the small business issue in the restaurants particularly, and how much business they have lost and how they are suffering economically during this COVID pandemic period. And recently, I had an opportunity to discuss this subject with a very good friend of mine, Paul Santora, from Santora's, let me get the right name, Pizza and Grill, right?
Right, Santora's Pizza Pub and Grill.
Pub and Grill. I knew I left Pub out. Okay, so.
Oh, you're good.
And Paul has been the spokesperson of a very important organization that he put together, which he's going to tell us about. To do with helping restaurants survive and reinvent themselves, but also he has been the motivating factor behind the lawsuit, which happily has had the good result of letting us go back into restaurants and indoor eating in the last week or so, I guess. So he has been the motivating factor and the chief I don't know what to say behind all of this, not chef, but the chief.
Yeah,
so, hi, Paul. I think it's really happy to have this opportunity on Target to describe this situation to all of our listeners and to get them on board with this project. And if anybody can do it, it's you. So the first thing I want to ask you about is, what is the project that you have come up with, and how did you come up with this idea? Not the lawsuit, but the project itself.
Revive. First, let me express myself in saying that your kind words are overwhelming, and and I appreciate everything that you're saying, and it's so kind to hear. So, early in December, we started an organization called Revive Western New York Restaurants. Our website is revivewesternnewyorkrestaurants.org. And basically what we do is we go in and two restaurants, we have a 26-week program, 26 restaurants right now, and we go in, film their story, try to get the public to understand what a restaurateur goes through on a daily basis, not just during COVID, but an everyday realm of how we manage our companies, and get them to understand the hardships that we do, how difficult it is, how dedicated we are to our staff and to our food and our passion. And we tell that story. We film it. We tell it. And then we share that. And then we do almost like a restaurant week for that restaurant. We try to get people to promote it, try to get them to go there, almost like a blitz for that particular week. And try to get them support. And then, of course, we've raised money for getting them cash as well. We have sponsorships that give them money towards food, towards paper products. We've got a gift card campaign for them. And then on top of that, we give them a little cash surprise at the end to help them out. So we're really happy that everybody's open because now we can go in there and share a meal with them and have a really nice, candid conversation about what they do and why they do it.
Let me go back to some basics with our listeners, and that is how the restaurant industry has been suffering in the last, I would say, probably till March, and how many people have been involved in this this pandemic situation have been affected.
Right. I think in March, there was a lot of people who kind of understood the process and kind of did what they had to do to survive. Everybody was closed. There was no place to go. So I think the takeout category for them, in most cases, not all, but in a lot of cases, got people through. And the ones that couldn't get through, they decided to close. And, I'm assuming, vendors were very understanding. Landlords were very understanding. And it was a hardship, but it was an unknown kind of situation. Then to close this second time was the most devastating. And the reason for that would be that the whole summer wasn't really an opportunity to get back to your normal business. So nobody was, nobody in the industry was really back to where they should be in the first place, trying to make up from all the issues financially, employee-wise, that were closed down in March, and then to have the hardship of being closed again with no backing, like no financial. Employees were kind of giving up on the restaurant industry. So the whole package of the second closing was 10 times, probably 100 times more devastating than the first one. So it has been a challenge, and you're seeing that by multiple restaurants across Erie County that are closed permanently. And we have been in the Buffalo area since 1927, and we've had this area support us forever. And our idea was to just give back to the community and give back to our fellow restaurateurs, because we feel for them. We all hurt, and we just want to be part of one big happy family at this point.
And, you know, I was interested to learn from you, really, when we talked about this before, how many other types of businesses and industries and employees are affected when the restaurants are closed or even doing just like takeout. And I think it's important to for everyone to understand that it's not just Paul Santora and maybe the people that they see that serve them or wait on their tables. It's so many other auxiliary people that are involved and industries and businesses.
Right. I mean, when we talk to, you know, most of our vendors, which is, you know, you take an industry like just let's say produce for an example. You know, you have an industry of these small produce companies, local produce companies, and they produce and distribute, you know, fresh vegetables to all of these restaurants on a daily basis. So their inventory, for an example, is massive, and they're going out. Now you take that and you shut them down, along with all the other vendors that have perishable items like chicken and cheeses and those kind of things, meats, and then you shut that industry off completely. Well, those people now have a massive amount of inventory that they have to figure out what to do with it. They and their employees that distribute it and deliver. And so, yeah, the snowball effect, not only financially, but just organizationally, is just the compact impressionability of how it really hurts them is just it's unmentionable, and I don't think really anybody has the idea as to how detrimental it is to many, many local companies. Because a lot of Buffalonians, a lot of these restaurants who are the culture of Buffalo, a lot of us use local businesses, and that's the idea. And it just hurt. It just impacted everybody as a whole.
When you were talking about this before, you told me a simple thing like people that deliver linens that you need, linens and that kind of you're talking about suppliers and vendors that all have no business while
that's
there's
correct.
No.
And I mean, especially the linen companies, if you think about it, their industry is really already hurt because they can't have banquets, these big banquet halls and stuff like that they do, you know, thousands of dollars worth of, you know, tablecloths and napkins, and they've been hurting since the beginning of the pandemic, and now with the additional closure, I don't even know how they're surviving and making it happen. It just seems almost impossible at this point.
I want to talk a little bit about the lawsuit, that how you came to bring it and what the issues were that you tried to bring before the court and which were successful.
Right. So it really, I wasn't really the start of it. We had a group of us, Greg from Duff's, Casey from Neat. We were all kind of involved with many other restaurants who were vocal. I just happened to be asked to speak more. I don't know if it's because of our brand identity. I'm not sure what it was. But you know, we kind of went in with the idea. It's kind of very basic. It was the science that didn't prove that restaurants were an issue. All of our 90 restaurants that were in the lawsuit, not one of them had contact tracing since March back to their restaurants for COVID incidents. And then on top of that science, basically what had happened is that when you look across all of New York State, as far as the consistency on closure and who's closed, the biggest factor we had was Albany, New York. Albany, New York, the capital, they were probably 3 to 4% higher in infection rates. They had 10 to 15% less hospital beds and ICU space. And then they were in nothing. They had no restrictions. They weren't in yellow. They weren't in orange. So the consistency and the ability to make us understand every morning, restaurateurs like myself and everybody else would just be so very confused and trying to figure out what we were missing. And the only thing the lawsuit did for us was verify the fact that we're not crazy. We understand what's happening. The judge understood what was going on, and we have the ability to have our day. Our right is to have our day in court and due process, and we exercise that right. And listen, we didn't make it political. We didn't want to have anything to do with which side was right, which side was wrong. All we were fighting for was our constitutional right for commerce, and that is it.
And also, when everyone keeps talking about the science, I think you were able to show that people were not, that it was not dangerous to catch COVID by going to a restaurant if all of the precautions were taken.
Right. I mean, we along with the whole industry have probably spent in Erie County alone, and I've stated it before, I'm going to say it's $500,000 plus dollars on PPE to make our restaurants safe, to overstaff our restaurants to keep them clean, to move tables and chairs. We have had, even the way we run our staff and keep their temperature checks, and the way we control the ability to send them home if they have any illnesses or they've had contact. We work similar to hospitals. We operate very professionally, and we sacrifice our business and how we operate to the health and the well-being of the customer. I mean, we send people home shorthanded if they have a headache, if they, you know, if somebody calls in. We don't care if we're shorthanded, we're working without them, because we don't want to make that sacrifice for our guests. And we make sure that they're comfortable at all times and safe.
And I think when you say we, it pretty much applies to all the restaurateurs.
100%
Yeah,
it does.
Because
yes,
everybody 100%. Wants the same thing. They're on the same page. When we were talking about the fact that at one point there was takeout, curbside pickup, and or takeout, and probably some delivery options, why is that not as successful or as obviously as good as having indoor dining?
Well, in this particular case, you know, you had all of the other seven counties around us, including parts of Erie County, that were open. So you had multiple choices of people to still go out to eat. You didn't stop people in Erie County from going out to eat. That didn't happen. So basically what you did is you still limited the amount of times somebody's going to eat at home and taking out a product from your restaurant and sitting down at a table and eating. They still exercise their right and their opportunity to go out. And you don't know, I can't imagine how many customers of ours and many other restaurateurs that I've spoken to, that they've gotten letters, emails, direct conversations of them saying, listen, you weren't victorious in this lawsuit just for restaurateurs. You were successful in allowing us to come back into your establishment and enjoy your food, because the culture of Western New York, especially in the winter, is going out to eat. What else is there right now? I mean, if you're a skier, you ski. If you're, you know, but everybody goes out to dinner, and they were more than excited to get back into our restaurants. Listen, there's some people out there don't want to go out to eat. I've had many conversations with people that I'm dealing with right now in the Revive West New York Restaurants thing that they just say, listen, we're not ready to go out to eat, you know, and I wholeheartedly agree with them, and I don't have any disrespect for them. That's their right, and I understand that. It's scary. And it's real. We know that. But for the people that want to come out to eat, for the way we take care of our customers and the way we do things, we've just gotten quite a few people who have, sent in reviews, and we love them. You know, you make things clean. The menus are always clean. Your staff is always kind. They're always masked. We're 6 feet apart. You follow the rules. And we like that information. And most restaurants, almost all restaurants, especially the ones in the lawsuit, have followed the same pattern.
And when some of the restaurants, when they first tried to open, I don't know, or when they was it when they were doing outdoors, still were cited for various violations, which seemed to be indiscriminately, not fairly imposing or judging. And I when I read, for example, that was it Duff's, they didn't have enough ventilation.
Right. Yeah, we lost our liquor license because.
And
of it.
You so, did, yeah. Why? Right. Why is that?
I'm sure they have their, they have their above people, trying to make sure the rules and regulations are followed and keeping people safe. You know what the difference is, Penny? It's really about the due process, right? Show us what we're doing wrong. Tell us what we're doing wrong, and show us why we're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? That's the idea. Like, we're restaurateurs. We're doing everything we can to survive on a daily basis, and we're not trying to break the rules. We're not trying to bend the rules. We're doing everything we can in our ability to keep our companies open. So if you come in as an authoritative figure of the SLA or the Erie County Health Department, just spend some time with us. Let us know what we're doing, work with us hand in hand as you should, especially, in Erie County as far as the health department or the SLA is, we should have due process. Just let us know. We'll fix it. Everybody's willing to do that. But don't come down on restaurants that are struggling and hurting in a very large way already and just sledge the hammer down just because you can. That's not fair. And that's why we won our ability to get our liquor license back, because, again, not political, just due process. Give us the ability to fix what we've broken, tell us what we need to do right on the spot, and we'll fix it, instead of ruining the opportunity for us to succeed in Western New York.
I just want to interrupt for a moment and tell her listeners that you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and today we are talking to Paul Santora, who was the lead plaintiff in the case that allowed the restaurants to open again for indoor dining recently, and he is with, of course, Pandora's Pizza Pub and Grill, and we are so happy that we have a chance to find out all the inner workings and the behind-the-scenes aspects, but more importantly, I think most people that are listening are really happy that at this time they can have some kind of indoor seating, even though it's limited, particularly what happened during before the playoffs. You weren't able to provide except for takeout, and all of the times that we were doing so well this past year, finally the Bills are in the playoffs, and I think you have been adjusted and be able to make some arrangements for people to celebrate. Safely?
Well, we are. We're open, at all three locations, and unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to extend the time for us to be open for this particular time period. Trying to figure out exactly why they knew that Buffalo was in the playoffs and the NFL decided to do a 6:40 game is beyond my understanding.
I know.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. But so be it.
You're talking about the 10 o'clock curfew.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to be open until 10 o'clock, but we are going to have the ability, once our guests leave at all three locations, if there's 10 minutes left, dress warm. We're going to leave TVs on and sound on out in our parking lots, and nobody will go unknown or unable to watch the game for the last 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is of however time it goes. We are making arrangements for our guests to still be able to watch and hear the game at the end, but we will be closed. Nobody will be in the building after 10 o'clock. There'll be no food or liquor sold, obviously, because we cannot. So doors will be locked at 10 o'clock. Everybody will be out. The sound and the visual will be in the parking lots, and everybody can use their discretion as to whether they want to watch from the outside or not.
We're going to be so far ahead by that last 10 minutes or small period of time that it's really not going to be relevant, right?
I agree.
I don't think it's going to be that important.
You're not the first person to say that. Somebody just said that at the end of the game, it's going to be 40-0 anyway, so it doesn't matter. So,
I just made that up. Of course, you know, what do I know? I want to get back to something that we were talking about before, which is what's the difference as far as, you know, being able to make money, make a profit, keep the businesses going, the restaurants going, when you did have just a curbside or pickup or takeout? Besides, you mentioned the experience of dining, of course, but I think there's a monetary factor involved too in the difficulty of still staying in business when you don't have indoor dining.
Well, yeah, because everything else still the bills still come in, right? So for an example, we're an insurance, just for that as an example. So you're paying insurance on a quarterly basis or a monthly basis based on how many employees you have employed or that you sell alcohol at a certain rate. And so the insurance companies don't care that you're closed. You're still paying those high rates of insurance for protection based on nothing happened but a takeout. So for a full dine-in restaurant compared to a pizzeria or a takeout place, you know, your insurance policy is 5 to 10 times more costly by the amount of employees, the amount of space, the amount of risk you have inside with alcohol, as you do in those cases. And those bills still remain, along with heating the larger building and paying people to be there and cleaning the building and keeping it updated and food preparation and rotation. And I mean, I could just go on and on and on as far as monetary value. That's why these people can't make it. And I always say, no disrespect to salons or gyms, but when you walk out of a salon or a gym, you shut the lights off. You come back the next day, you turn the lights on. Whole different ball game when it comes to the restaurant business, from insurance to food to staff to the process itself, is a completely different mechanical process on a daily basis, and the expense associated with that is beyond anybody's belief. Unless you're in the business, you can only understand.
And you know what I learned from my son-in-law Sean, I was telling you, who owns Sullivan's, that
right.
it's more expensive. There's a lot more expenses in takeout that you would think about, just buying the containers and putting the food in properly. And you know, the experience of taking it out and eating at home, no matter what, is not the same either as eating in a restaurant.
No, the quality of the food could never be the same as it coming hot out of the oven. I mean, really, picture making dinner. You spent all your money or time making this beautiful dinner at home, and then after you took it out of the oven, you told somebody, okay, we're just going to leave everything on this counter for an hour, and then we can eat. Like, that's basically it. And then you're putting them in containers that are sealed where there's moisture. I mean, the process is very, very difficult to get that meal on your table as delicious as it would be as sitting down in the restaurant.
And I learned that as an eater, as a customer, not knowing anything about the business, but just, you know, how different it tastes no matter what it is when you get it home. And plus the fact, what a pain in the neck. I can't cook anything. And imagine having to heat this myself. It's really, it's a lot of work. What about the government helping restaurants with the extra, with the money? I can't think of what they're calling it, but
the PPP loan.
Yes,
I mean the PPP loan, you know, it's always that thing like anybody else, and anybody who, first of all, the delay is for a lot of people too late, and I'm not saying they didn't do their due diligence. Everybody helped us out the last time. I mean, I think the people that applied the first time, I think that's the only thing that saved them, and a lot of people are going to be in the same category, including ourselves right now, to help us get through what we need to get through and bring employees back. Like, we're working 7 days a week, all day and night right now, because we can't bring a lot of people back, because even though we're open, we still can't afford it. But the PPP will help that. And like anybody else, nobody feels comfortable until that money hits your bank account. Like, you can be approved, you can be, you know, you can do whatever you want, fill out all your paperwork, your bank can guarantee you 100%, but until you see that cash in your account, that's the only time you can start resting easy. And, you know, you're still talking a month away possibly for that. And that is a hardship in January that's going to be very difficult to swallow. It really should have been more available to everybody a month ago at least.
And of course it's complicated, really complicated, as I learned, to, you know, to qualify, to make it a lot of restrictions, a lot of red tape, a lot of difficulty. Before we go, I want you to tell our listeners how they can participate. You also have, I think, a GoFundMe section,
yes,
portion.
Absolutely, yeah. So right now, the most important thing is for us to raise money. So you could basically go to revivewnyrestaurants.org, and all of the donating capabilities are right on there. You know, $5, $10. We've been asking for a $19.27 donation based on when my grandfather started the company, kind of giving it a nice round or a reason for a number to donate. Yeah, it's a GoFundMe. You can go on our Facebook page, and there's a way to donate there as well. Anything will help, and we are doing everything we can to keep the culture of restaurants in Buffalo alive. That's our goal.
And let's take a moment to talk about Sunday. First of all, if people are going to want to come to the restaurant or order something in advance, you are going to be overwhelmed, right?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping people aren't still scared away at the 10 o'clock thing. But yeah, I mean, we're taking reservations right now. But you don't need a reservation. We have plenty of room at all of our locations at this point in time. There's still plenty of space available. So basically what we do is, if you want to reserve a table, we take a $50 hold on the table. We give you a gift card, and then when you show up, we hand you the gift card back to use for that purchase. And unfortunately, if you don't show up, we do reserve the right to not give you that gift card, only because we held that table from another guest. So that's just our kind of guarantee. The last time we did the game a while back ago on our patio, we did reservations, and I don't know, 15 tables, 20 tables, I think like 7 people didn't show. And that's 7 tables that is a loss of money for us, and that's not something we can afford to do on a Bills game situation or at any time right now.
How many ways and how many different times can we say it? But go Bills. And
correct.
And Paul, okay, you can make a prediction, because this is on in Sunday morning, and you still have time. I want to hear it.
Well, you know, I believe in this particular case, I think the game is going to be phenomenal, and I think you're talking about two great quarterbacks. I do think the Bills offensively and defensively are going to come out of this. I'm not sure to what score and to how many points, but I really, really do think that the overall camaraderie of the Buffalo Bills now can't be beat. I think their momentum, their coaching, you know, just that they look like one happy family. And when you're one big happy family in any organization, sport, you just win. You win because you can. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Paul Santora, you heard it here by listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang. Thank you, Paul, and please join
us. Thank you so much, always such a pleasure to speak to you.
Same here, and I don't know how many ways we can say it, but we know the Bills are going to win. Go Bills, and thanks.
Agreed.
For listening to On Target. Please join me again next week, and have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.